Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's going on, Kansas City? What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back.
Yes.
The fifth week of the season. Chiefs are 4-0, and we're back on Players Only. Joe Mays, 8 years in the NFL, linebacker, former linebacker, sixth-round draft pick.
Yes, sir.
Played for multiple teams. Eagles, Broncos, Texans.
Chiefs and Chargers. There we go.
Jets and Chargers.
And yes. The Jets. Yeah, I was there during the preseason.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Joe
quick
Mays,
cup of coffee.
What's going on coming from the Leia Center downtown?
Oh, man, everything is everything. Hit a little bit of traffic on the way here, but the Leia Center is doing great. We're having people coming in, and we're trying to help them as best we can the natural route. So if you're ever in Kansas City, we're on 6th and Walnut, the Leia Center, please stop through.
The Leia Center, indeed. I got in the cryo down there. It was real smooth. We got a guest in the studio. Keith Cash, former tight end with the Kansas City Chiefs, 6 years in the NFL.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on, brother?
Ain't nothing, man. Good to be here.
Great to have another offensive guy. That's
two weeks in a row. Come on,
man. We got offensive guys outnumbering the defensive guys, Keith.
We are responsible individuals.
Yes, we are.
Come on.
Them defensive cats, you don't know about them. They might be here. They might show up. They might not.
They might. You know, they miss tackles. They miss meetings, you know.
I mean, y'all drop balls.
Not dependable.
Y'all run the wrong routes. I mean, look, we can go back and
back
forth.
Back and forth like that.
Yeah, I mean, we all make our mistakes, but at the end of the day, we were professionals. So I think that's probably the only thing that really matters.
Hey, when it's all said and done, we got a chance to live our dreams, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I am Danon Hughes, a sixth-round pick, wide receiver with the Chiefs for 6 years. So we got some blue-collar workers in here two weeks in a row. We got the guys in here, Bo Richter last week. And now Keith in here, blue-collar guys, late-round guys. You know, Keith had to take a pay cut when he came from Texas, you know. You know how it is down there with the Longhorns and them boosters.
Hey, this ain't SMU, man.
No, it wasn't going on around Texas.
SMU. Oh, no.
Shoot, they said everything's done big at UT.
Doubt. In Texas.
In Texas, not there?
Not at Texas.
Not at Texas. Okay, cool.
Well, we're glad you were here, man. We're glad to be back on the air, and I want to take full credit. I think Players Only is the reason why the Chiefs are 4-0.
I think so.
Since we've been on the air, they have not lost a game.
I know, and we're on the air every week now.
I mean,
last year we were only here for what, 3 weeks? Three shows. But now we're on a week. Yeah, and we're on here every week.
We got the highest winning percentage of any radio show on 610.
Man,
That's strong.
That's strong, right? Hey. That means that y'all, whoever the big man that's in charge of everything. You got to keep us on.
That's right.
You can't let us go. You can't let us go nowhere because we are keeping everything rolling really smoothly out here.
Well, Players Only, for those of you just new checking in, listening in, Players Only, the genesis behind Players Only is just to have a forum for former players to come and chat, just like we would in the locker room, talk over different points, different things that are going on the field and off the field, and we're happy to have a guest, a former Chief, each and every week that comes in and chops it up with us. And now, Keith, in this first quarter of the show, we're going to want to talk about this Chiefs team and just the recap of that Lions game and this team being 4-0. From your perspective, what do you see from this team?
I see a lot of good defense. A lot of good offense.
I was about to say, we're about to give you a drug test.
You know, I see a team that offensively, they scored 34 points. and they didn't play very well.
Yeah.
So that and that was a pretty good defense that they played against.
Yep.
So that tells me that they could probably score on anybody in the league. If they're clicking and once they get healthy, man, this team's going to be fun to watch.
Definitely.
It's fun to watch already, but it's going to be fun to watch.
What about that defense?
As I started to say at the beginning, the defense right now is equally as bad as the offense is good, in my opinion.
Good point.
They are not the worst defense in the league, but I don't think they've gotten everything together yet. Maybe it's a new coaching staff. Joe, you could probably talk about that a little bit more. But a new defense, how long does it take to get it?
You know what? That's what training camps and the OTAs are for. It's so that you can build that confidence with your teammates, build that confidence in the system itself. So normally it shouldn't take that long, but, you know, it seems like it's taking a lot longer for these guys to gel and to click and to come together and play defense well, technique sound defense. I mean, you got some missed tackles. You got guys that seem like they're out of position. And I think at the end of the day, when it comes to playing defense, you just have to want it.
But you know what? The normal thing, I think throughout our careers, that's how it always has been. But, and you hate to use excuses now, but do you wonder if this team, or specifically the issues that they've had on defense, goes to the fact that they can't hit, can't tackle? You know, there's a lot of, you know, waving by guys on defense in practice. It's not full contact 9-on-7 like we used to have and 1-on-1s. I wonder, I mean, obviously it's uniform across the league, so it can't be an excuse. But I wonder if that dynamic in itself attributes itself to the lack of unity and on this defense.
I mean, that plays a role. You know, when you're not hitting on a consistent basis, when it's time to get out there and when the bullets are flying, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit to warm up. You know, and I definitely got it, you know, the last couple of years, that's how I felt. But when you're hitting a lot more, it's a little bit easier to translate that from the practice field to the to playing it in games. But I think, you know, really, I don't think these guys are mad enough. You know, like, I think being a defensive guy, you automatically have a chip on your shoulder because you have an offense that's coming in week after week that's looking to score a lot of points on you. That has to do a little bit. That has to light some type of fire inside of you to make sure you go out there and you playing your most angry, the angriest football you play every week.
Me and Keith were talking about this before the show and having that attitude. Like, at some point, when you've heard over and over on the radio, on television, obviously the Chiefs are one of the top teams, if not the top team in the NFL. So every sports show is talking about how great this offense is. And then a step back about the defense. And now you hear it all the time. And now you're, 31st in the league against the rush, giving up 150 yards a game. You just come out of Detroit where they get 185 plus yards on the ground. At some point, your pride and your ego has to step up. And I think that's what you're talking about in regards to having an attitude and being angry on the field. I want to see what angry looks like. And, you know, Keith, we played with some great defenses that would never allow what's happening now on the field. What, you know, if you remember back then, what are those guys, if you look at the parallel between these guys, although we're not inside the locker room, we can still see the vibe of this defense.
I think that you look at player to player, man to man, they have talent.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you look, just write them down on paper, they have talent. So I think when you look at, you know, the old defenses of this defense, both of them had talent. I have to go with Joe and what he's talking about, just being angry and, you know, at some point, someone hits you in the mouth a couple times, you're going to swing back at some point.
Definitely.
And we're waiting for them to swing back. And I think part of it may have to do with, the practice habits and what they do in practice. Because you, dating back when we played, Marty wasn't playing. We ran the ball, so you had to practice physical football.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things have changed. Maybe they can't put on pads. Andy's obviously a player's coach who takes care of his players.
Definitely.
And he doesn't beat them up. I mean, we could say after 12 games, Dana, we were done.
Oh, yeah. That's why we kind of faltered at the end of the season.
Exactly. And I think that this is totally different. But they have to get back to physical football. I think it is an attitude.
Is there anything that you guys see? And I'll tell you a little bit about when I'm watching the game, I always talk to people, whether it's, coworkers at U.S. Bank that I work at or people out on golf tournaments or charities. You know, I talk about the lens of the game that I'm watching. You know, obviously my eyes gravitate to the wide receivers and what the DBs are doing and the safeties and coverages and so on and so forth. from you guys' perspective, whether it's on TV or out at the stadium, what lens do you watch this game at? And what are the, give me a couple of nuances that you see that maybe the general fan doesn't see.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, being a defensive guy, I'm always looking at that front seven. I mean, on both sides of the ball. And I'm seeing how the defensive linemen are coming off the ball. I'm seeing how the linebackers are reacting to whether it's run or pass. And if they coming downhill with some fire lit under them. And it just, to me, it seems like, you know, the guys, and it's kind of like Keith said, you know, when you get punched in the mouth, you got to throw that punch back. But me, I want the defense to come out punching. I want the defense to come out.
Anything specific you've seen in games, you know, maybe not in the Lions game, but just over the course of this, the games before that, even maybe in the preseason, something that pops out of your brain that you're like, okay, this is a maybe not a weak link, but it's something to be concerned about that you're going to pay attention to going forward.
Beating blocks. I think at both levels, defense, I mean, at the D-line and the linebackers, you know, if these guys are able to defeat blocks, get up, beat their one-on-ones, and then make a play, that's the type of things that I'm looking for, and that's the type of things that the rest of the defense kind of feed off of, and you're not seeing a lot of that so far this year.
Right, right. One of the things I look at is just with all the motions they do, kind of how the defense is reacting to it.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to watch to see how Mahomes, just through the formations and the motions, how Andy Reid is manipulating the defense and making him move into positions that they don't necessarily want to be in, setting up matchups for some of the receivers that, I mean, it's just fun to watch. It's something that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? That's a great point because there's a lot of the game to us is predictable. Like we can see when guys break the huddle. You know, I always look at the wide receivers. You can tell by the way they break the huddle if it's going to be a pass or a run, if they're primary or not. Some guys just have tells in their body language. But I agree. The shifts, the motions, I'm sure a lot of fans think, what all this razzle-dazzle? It's not razzle-dazzle. If somebody follows the running back in from outside at wide receiver, chances are it's man-to-man coverage. Mm-hmm. That tells Patrick Mahomes where his progression needs to be, maybe tips him off to a possible blitz because man-to-man generates usually a blitz package coming into the quarterback's face. If they just shift inside, so if you start Damian Williams outside or Shady McCoy outside and he comes back into the backfield and nobody really moves with him, then it's probably zone.
Yep.
You know, it's not rocket science, but it's just a different lens that we see. Okay, now how are they going to pick apart this zone versus this man-to-man coverage, especially in the part of the field that they're in and so on? Because, you know, our game plans back in the day with the West Coast offense, you know, third and medium, third and short, what were the tendencies? 40%, 42% of the time they play man-to-man between the 40s, but then it goes up to 80% in the red zone. These are all the school that we go to Monday through Friday and Saturday evenings to prepare for a game. So that's the nuances that I see in the game. And coming out of this Lions game, I thought they were a little bit soft up front. The first play of the game, they got knocked back on their heels and a big run by the Lions. To me, if you're not ready on the first play of the game, you're going to have an uphill battle going the rest of the game. And so I watched those different dynamics that were going on the field. Unfortunately, even though the offense didn't play their best, the defense didn't play their best, special teams didn't play their best, you don't normally see all three play not their best football and still win a football game.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah.
Well, we come upon the end of this first quarter, and we're going to come back after the break and talk about pregame rituals and then one big topic that's been discussed around the country, paying college athletes.
This is Players Only.
And we're back. Second quarter. The Chiefs this season has been one of the best, not just this season, but even going into last season, one of the best teams in the second quarter of all the NFL. So we got to be one of the best shows in the second segment, second quarter.
Got to.
In the entire world,
in
Keith.
The world.
In the world.
In the universe.
I like it.
You know, you gotta talk big, man. That's how we do it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So right before the break, we talked about pregame rituals. You know, I was a very, very superstitious player early in my career. I got away from it in the latter part of my career, but very superstitious, even going back to high school and into college, absolutely. Tell me about you guys. I want to hear the stories behind the story, behind the jersey of you guys and game day prep. We got a big game, prime time, different than the 12 noon, a prime time game coming up. You know, people want to know what those guys are doing for the extra few hours before the game or what they normally do on road games or at home on 12 noon. What y'all do?
I was a big sleeper, man. I just slept. I mean, the main thing I did when I, you know, as soon as you get to the stadium, you get out on the field, and I used to work up a lather. I mean, I was tired. I'd have to come back and change.
Oh, so you went out on the field way early.
I went on the field early, and I ran around and got the blood flowing. And then I'd take a nap. I'd go to sleep, come back into the locker room, and just wait to go out there with our positions.
Joe?
That was me. That music, I mean, outside
Yeah, you got the headphones on.
Yeah, the headphones on.
I think the one thing I like to do when I first come to the stadium is hop in the cold tub. I mean, because, you know, it's like, especially later on in the season, you know, when the body start getting really tired and sore, you want to be able to get that, just that reset. So I hop in the cold tub, you know, for about 10 minutes and just reset that blood flow. And then I go on the field, you know, work me a little lather. I got my headphones in. I'm listening to rap music. But then when I come inside, I'm listening to something real slow, something that'll calm me down because, you know, sometimes when you get too excited, you get tired super early.
Yeah.
And, you know, with me being a special teams guy, I used to have to go out there and be the first ones to run up and down the field. And, you know, I'd be tired after that first time. So, you know, I listen to something a little slow to bring me back down, you know, so I'd be ready to play the game.
How about Percy Harvin this week? I don't know if you guys saw the article. Said he played just about every game he ever played, high as a kite, on marijuana. Because of his anxiety. Now, he wasn't using it as a crutch. He was basically, even though it wasn't allowed, he was using it as medication for himself in order to go out and perform. So that was his pregame ritual. And, Joe, you and I have had conversations about CBD and, you know, now all the movement towards legalizing marijuana and some of the positive effects of that. I never did that. I was pretty undisciplined. In a lot of my pregame stuff, whether the food that I ate was fast food, and you know, but I had a regimen. You know, Bud Epps was the trainer. He would have to tape me every single game. Have to tape my right foot first before my left foot. Mm. Had the same music playing. It was slow jams or something like that, just like you said, to calm me down because I was kind of wound up. Especially as a special teams knucklehead that Keith knows. He was part of that crew early in his career before he went to the A team. You know. He left us down in the basement, us special teams guys.
Moving up like a Jefferson.
Yeah, he moved on up like George Jefferson to the starting unit. So he left me alone, but that was all right. but you had those routines, man, and the rituals that got you ready for this game. And it's interesting, you know, because we're a different generation, literally a different generation than these players right now. And how they're getting wound up, how they're getting ready for a primetime game, the first one of the season. By the way, and I've said it all week, this is the dumbest schedule. The people at the NFL in New York should be ashamed of themselves for putting the Chiefs 5 games into the season with the reigning MVP at quarterback, the most dynamic offense, exciting player, and we got to wait till week 5 to see him on primetime when we've seen the duds that have happened in just
Jets
about
and
every
Browns.
Yeah, yeah, Jets and Come Browns on. And Giants. Terrible teams that they knew were going to be terrible before the season started, and yet they still put them on prime time. It's a travesty to me. Now, fortunately, we got some more coming up, and I'm sure they'll be flexed into a couple others as the latter part of the season comes around. But it's a different dynamic. It's a different deal when you're playing on prime time, and it's a special time, no doubt.
I mean, those teams that you just named, they had storylines coming into the season. I mean – you know, when you got the Browns, you got all of the free agent acquisitions that they made, including the trade for Odell Beckham Jr. And then when you got the Jets, I mean, they just signed the running back from the Steelers.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So, you know, when you got storylines like that, you know, heading into the season, you want to put those guys on prime time. Just, you know, so they'd be able to show them with their new teams.
You got to be able to flex out of that game, though.
Yeah.
Put them later.
It should be an
year.
Option.
Yeah.
Option.
I mean, you
quick.
It's
pull the
hard
trigger
to flex.
On it.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to flex on it, you know, in the early in the season. Right. But I think the Chiefs are in a great position because now, you know, like you said, Dana, they're going to have that opportunity to flex into a lot of prime time games.
Hey, absolutely. You know what should have happened back in the day? When it was time for you to get cut around training camp, you saw the players going out, somebody knock on your door. Can you go see me and bring your playbook?
Oh,
somebody should have been knocking on those coaches' door, those GMs, Jets. you going back to 12 noon.
Yeah, yeah.
You going back to 12. You don't deserve a 7 o'clock shot on prime time. You brought up some big names. Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham Jr., yeah. Guys that got paid big-time numbers in the NFL. How about guys in college? The big thing around now is California. New York is pending. I think North Carolina, one of the Carolinas, is also in the works. I saw something about Illinois.
National.
Coming into
talking national.
National, yeah. Now. Now yeah. It's really gaining steam.
Yeah.
There's obviously conflicting thoughts about paying college athletes or college athletes getting compensated. I guess to me that would be the better terminology. College athletes getting compensated for their likeness. What's your thoughts on that?
I think everybody should have the opportunity to make something on their likeness.
Yeah.
Because in this case, we have the NCAA and these universities that are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you name it. This kid from Clemson, the quarterback, they said after last year he's going to be the first player picked in the draft. So how often is his likeness being used?
Yep.
And Tua and everybody on Alabama's exactly. team? Yeah. So you have all these guys. That money's going somewhere. I mean, whether you give it to them now or give it, you know, put it in some kind of fund that they get it after they retire, you know, that the education, a lot of people say that that's their pay. But at the end of the day, education, I mean, for a lot of these guys, they're not going to finish anyways.
Yeah. Yep.
So why not take something with them?
And less than 1% go to the pros? So now you got a situation where the other 99%, let's say half of those guys, could use that money while they're in college. And I remember, and the you know, I know Joe, you're, you know, Keith took a pay cut, but Joe, you was
big
time.
Pay raise.
He got a huge pay raise being a Bison, not a Bison.
A Bison, yes.
North Dakota State.
Yes.
From your perspective, that was Division I AA back then. Now it's FCS.
Yep. I mean, I second what Keith said. I mean, these guys, they deserve to get paid because, you know, with their likeness being used. I mean, for me, you know, being a student athlete myself and going to North Dakota State, we didn't get a lot of money. You know, those Pell Grant checks, they wasn't as big as, you know, some of these other colleges and some of these other guys that you know, they receive. So I think that, you know, if you know, these guys, they sometimes struggle. And that's what people don't realize is that these college athletes, they struggle because they're not able to work a job.
Yeah.
So they're not able to earn any type of money while they're playing the sport and also going to school.
Exactly. Now, Keith – and I joke about the pay raise and so on and so forth, a dropping in pay. Who were you, number 11 at Texas?
Yeah.
You were number 11.
Yep.
Wait, while you were there, how many number 11s did you see walking around with jerseys around the school, around the campus, or being sold in the university store and so on?
They were out there. I mean, there wasn't a ton of them, but
– they were out there.
I mean, when I got to my senior year and started balling, they
all of a sudden popped
up.
Exactly. I was number 3 at Iowa. A lot of number 3s that were out there that were getting sold. And my big story about whether they should get compensated or not, one, if there's another student at the university, a piano student, an art major, or what have you, that's on a full scholarship, or even one that's just an academic scholarship, full scholarship, they can go and work. That pianist can go out and play at a club, play at a bar, and get paid for that. Why can't an athlete do that? You know, on a personal side, there were multiple spring breaks, winter breaks, short breaks, holidays that I had to stay at the University of Iowa because I had no money to get back to Jersey. My family had no money to get out to me. There were times where we had to go 2, 3, or 4 football players bigger than me, put money together to get pizza.
Yep.
That's the real dynamics of getting compensated. Yes. You know, everybody wants to talk about the big name, the Baker Mayfield or the Kyler Murray when they were in college. Maybe they would have gotten thousands and thousands of dollars. But the realness of it is the guys like myself, the guys like us here in this booth of just a few hundred dollars here or there, how much difference that would have made in our entire college experience, going on dates, proper dates, you know, being able to buy food when you really need it and not have to share with other guys. All those different dynamics that I don't think the NCAA, they've shown that they don't care, but I don't think general public actually takes into consideration because it's not real to them.
Yeah, and when you talk about those breaks too, these guys, they don't get a chance to go and eat, you know, in the cafeteria because everything is shut down when you're on spring break.
Yep.
So how else are they going to get, you know, have that opportunity?
Ramen noodles.
To get food.
Beans and exactly. pork and beans.
Oh, man, the ramen noodles.
Hey, them ramen noodles, I'd make some.
That was
some
a delicacy.
Gourmet meals.
Oh, yeah, put some hot dogs in there or something. Cut up some bologna. So I don't know. You made your way. But, you know, if these guys are getting paid, they you know, they would have better opportunities and better things that they'd be able to do with their time.
Well, guys, we're coming on halftime right now, and when we come back, I want to talk about off the field. There's a lot of stuff that goes on off the field. We kind of navigated to that with the paying of athletes in college, but back into the pros, whether it's social issues, counseling, just general stuff that goes on off the field, I want to tackle that. So we're going to come back after halftime, take a little halftime break, get some oranges, some juices, some
toe-y. Yeah.
Indeed. Oh, yeah. And we're going to tackle that next.
This is Players Only.
Halftime over. If we were back in the 60s, we'd have smoked a cigarette, maybe had a beer during halftime, went back on the field.
Scotch.
Like those old school pitches. We just had some tohi. We're just chilling here. After halftime, major note, if you have not set your fantasy lineups, you better go ahead. Thursday game is about 30 minutes away. You guys play fantasy?
I do.
Do you consider it playing?
Yeah, I get pretty competitive with it. I'm trying to trade half my roster. I need some trades. Come on, fellas.
I talk trash when I was playing on the field, but I talk so much trash in fantasy football. So much.
Yeah.
I'm obnoxious.
I don't really do the fantasy football. You know, everybody asks me if I do it and you know, they ask me to come and join their league, but I don't know. Like, I don't really have time to even check and see who's playing.
Oh, man, I make time. You follow me at DAHughesGuy83 on Twitter, Facebook. You might see me talk some trash there. I put it on blast. Uh-oh. I don't care.
Uh-oh.
Shoot. It don't matter to me. But we talked about, obviously, that's one aspect of being off the field and things that we do or things that are popular around the country with the game of football. But I want to go a little deeper, maybe a little bit more serious. Don't have to be, but a little deeper. Counseling off the field. I recently saw an article that DeAndre Hopkins was a player that came out and spoke about counseling and how he continues to go to counseling, keeps him, I guess, for lack of better terms, regulated in life on the field and off the field. You guys have any experiences in counseling, whether it was while you were playing or what you needed after the game, what maybe you've seen in former teammates that – maybe you encourage them to do that. I know for me, I've been, and I'm pretty transparent, I don't care. I've been in multiple counseling sessions as far as marriage counseling. I've been married for 24 years. Different dynamics, mm-hmm. being a player, being not a player.
Yep.
Having one kid, having five kids, having no kids in the house. All the different things that go on intertwined in that. I'm totally open to it. I have an ego. Everybody has an ego. But for me, it's not in that aspect, that box. I'm cool with having a third person in the room or a second person in the room if it's one-on-one to talk through stuff that I may not be cool about talking generally.
Yeah, sometimes you need that.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes you need that. If you're struggling with something, whether it's and maybe you're not struggling. You just need another point of view.
Yep.
Another point of view, and that's what I've used it for in the past. I know a lot of times maybe I can't get out what I'm trying to say, and mm-hmm. someone else kind of weeds through my jibber jab for me and makes sense of what's going on in my head. So I think it's good for everybody, especially athletes that there's not a whole lot of people walking around like us.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
And we've experienced a lot more different things than the rest of the population.
It ain't all cake and roses.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. So sometimes you just got to get something off your mind.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? I'm definitely a fan of it, but I've never had the opportunity to go to a counseling session. But, you know, I use my wife. You know, she was always my ear. You know, whenever I needed someone to talk to or someone to just hear me out, she was always there because, you know, at the end of the day, the entire reason why I played football was to let off that frustration and that steam that I had coming
But you
up.
Don't got that now.
I mean, you know what? Sometimes it's still there. You know, yeah. you, I mean,
I'm saying you don't have the avenue to let it go. I get stirred up Monday through Saturday just so I can release it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And now there's no more Sundays.
Yeah. I mean, football was an outlet. It was more than just a job and a career for me. It was my outlet. That was my way, you know, to be sane once I'm off the field, you know, because I can let off any frustration or anything. I can hit somebody and I feel fantastic afterwards. And off the field, I feel cool, calm, and collected. But like I said, my wife, my kids, they were always, you know, the ears and, you know, if we need to play around and joke around just to, you know, pull me away from, you know, something that I'm thinking about. I always did that. And they became my outlet off the field.
That's real good.
So. Hey, there's a lot of a counseling person or it doesn't have to be a professional.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, a lot of times it is someone to talk to. It's just that. It may be your wife. It may be one of your buddies. I'm like you, Joe. I use my wife as that sounding board for a lot of things, whether it's, you know, with my career now, financial advisor at Central Investment Advisors or whatever.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I talk to her a lot. Shout out. Central Bank. Shout out. Central Bank.
Yeah, man. I mean.
You're right. I mean, I think, you know, one thing that's great about this Kansas City area and the Chiefs Kingdom, specifically the Hunt family and the Chiefs organization, is that they adopted a deal. Walter White and Larry Marshall started 30 something years ago. And it was the Chiefs ambassadors. And Keith and I are a part of the Chiefs ambassadors. There are about 48-ish players that are former players that are still in the area, still contribute to the community, do a lot of charity work. But one of the biggest components is that we get together at least once a month, probably more with charity appearances and so on and so forth. So we have that avenue. And Keith and I have had former teammates that we had to pull aside and counsel. Not necessarily that we're licensed, but we felt like there was a need for us to chit chat with this guy or set this person down because we saw things were maybe a little awry in their life. And that's the accountability that you guys were talking about, whether you have it with your family or we have it. We went through, you know, and I know and it's not a popular comment, but generally speaking, we went through battles. We went through wars together. We put our bodies through so much. OTAs, workouts, two-a-days, special teams, kickoff coverage, concussions, smelling salts, all this stuff. You build a bond that is pretty much unbreakable because there's not many other people that can walk this walk or has walked this walk like we have that are walking in and out of Central Bank, U.S. Bank, Leah Center, wherever we work. So we have that commonality within ourselves. And sometimes, like you said, we can be our own counselors.
Definitely, definitely. And another thing that I use, well, two things. One, yoga. Like, yoga, that's been a huge outlet. Oh, man. I mean, you get a chance to just meditate and not really, you know, focus on what's going on in the now. I mean, you know, what's going on during the week, but you focus on the now.
The pencil pose.
I just stand there.
Straight up.
I can't bend over.
Hey, I was about to say, that sounds like Shavasana. Can't get right. You land down straight. But, you know, another thing that, you know, something that I've been noticing is, you know, talking to other people about the issues that they go through.
Yeah.
You know, and that removes you from what you're going through. So now you become an ear to someone else. And now the conversation and everything changes because you're able to talk someone through some issues like someone else been able to talk you through.
Well, and you know what? Interesting dynamic, not just for players, but also just in society, is if you're transparent, you'll be amazed at how many people will be transparent with you.
Yeah.
If you seem like you're guarded, there's going to be people that are going to be guarded. They may need to hear something from you. They may want to speak something to you. They may want to type something on social media. I've had some crazy conversations in social media that I think were uplifting when they were over.
Yep.
But if I wasn't transparent up front, those people probably wouldn't have been transparent afterwards. So note to everyone out there, all the listeners on the field, off the field, former athletes or whatever, be transparent in your life. There's nothing you going through that no one else has gone through. And there's somebody that can probably benefit from your insight. Definitely. Just another person's insight, you know. Social issues, though, on the field, off the field. I think of us three, I'm probably the most active in social media. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a calling in some respect to be transparent and maybe to plant seeds that other people may not think about. How do you guys address stuff that's going on in society? You know, obviously the big topic now, Amber Geiger, the police officer that shot the man in his own apartment, only getting 10 years. There, obviously, and then you got politics that have come on, a numerous amount of things that are going on in society that for some reason people think that we're less apt to talk about or we're less qualified because we were athletes at one point. Mm-hmm. How do you guys tackle that?
I think for me and my wife, the most important thing for us is to educate our kids and to let them know, you know, who they are and where they come from and how to behave and how to be when you're in the public eye. And, you know, just knowing that some things just may come up because, you know, it's the color of your skin. I mean, that, you know, it's people may not like the fact that I'm saying that, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we were always brought up to do things differently and make sure that we behave in a certain way so people don't look at us or say anything wrong to us. So, you know, we just try to pass that same knowledge to our kids so that they can know when they're out and they're away from us, you know, to just carry yourselves like, definitely.
Kind of the same thing as Joe. I mean, I have a lot of conversations with my kids. They are very aware of what's going on out there in the media just because they sit down and they watch the news with us sometimes and they watch Good Morning America, whatever we're watching. And there are a lot of conversations that come up. One of the most touching things that I saw out of this cop that killed this guy in his apartment was the fact that how his brother responded.
I couldn't be that. I mean, I'm a God-fearing man and been a Christian for a long time. I don't know if I could have done that. But I'm just being honest. I mean, it's real.
I agree.
I mean, it's commendable, beyond commendable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's one of the things that my one of my kids asked me about is, Dad, could you do that? Could you forgive? And I'm a Christian man as well. And like you, if someone killed my brother, I don't know how. I mean, we talked about football and turn the other cheek. You know, there's sometimes that I just have I struggle with that. And
we all have those struggles.
Yeah.
Different struggles.
That was just a picture of what God is right there.
Yep. It's a great picture for our kids to see.
Absolutely.
It's a great picture because we, no matter how good we are, how good a perception that we are as parents, we're not perfect. So we get those opportunities to be able to, for someone else to show grace, mercy, love, all of those things that maybe we just ain't ready to show at that point, given in that same situation, right?
Oh, yeah, no, nah.
All right, guys, well, we're going to step back out of that zone and get back to football for the fourth quarter. You guys love the fourth quarter. That's usually when the Chiefs are winning or about to win. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this Chiefs team and what they have in their hands coming up on prime time against the Colts this Sunday night.
This is Players Only.
Put your hands in the air. It's the fourth quarter. Were you one of those cats that walked up and down the sideline with the fours up?
Everybody did.
Fourth quarter, then it was time for business.
Everybody
did. Time to wrap up the business,
right?
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Back to Players Only.
He's going to wave them hands like we just
don't care. Yeah, I thought he was getting to the
club.
Exactly.
Damn. Wow.
Joe Mays, Keith Cash, and I am Danon Hughes here for the fourth quarter. Players Only, last segment. Guys, it's been fun so far.
Definitely.
Now we got to get to the present now. We got to talk about this Chiefs team against this Colts team. Very underrated Colts team, I think. What's your thoughts on this game and this matchup?
I think the Chiefs should win it. I mean, we're playing at home. It's going to be, I mean, Sunday night games. We already talked about how high
rabid atmosphere.
It's going to be crazy. I look for it to be a lot like last year when we played them in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think we, on paper, we're better.
Yeah.
And offensively against that defense, I mean, it's just not a good matchup, I don't think. It's just going to be, they're going to try to run the ball. We know what they're going to do. That defense is going to have to, from step up, hit somebody in the mouth, shut it down, and make Brissett
beat you.
Yep.
I mean, he's been playing well, though. I mean, given that he's been thrown right into the spotlight with Luck retiring, he's really stepped in, and he's taking command of that team. So, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it is a close game because they've shown that they can not only run the ball but put points on the board, which – you know, that's really been, you know, the Achilles heel of our defense is being able to stop that run. Yeah. So With them knowing that they can run the ball and having those opportunities, it wouldn't surprise me if this game was a little closer than everyone would think.
Well, you know, going deeper into this matchup, you know, last year the Colts came in. They ran the ball effectively. And I think surprisingly, mainly because the Chiefs got out ahead of them so quick in the first and second quarter, that the run game, they went away from the run game with Andrew Luck in the playoff game. But prior to that, they ran the ball for 6.2 yards a carry. Marlon Mack, who's going to come in here, is still hampered a little bit by an ankle, ran for over 5 yards a carry up until that point. Mm-hmm. So it behooves us to have the same game plan on our side offensively, is to get out in front to force them not to run, because we know that we're not very good against the run. We just gave up 186 yards, I believe, last week against the Lions, and teams are averaging over 150 yards, or just near 150 yards against us. 150 yards. Could you imagine that with a Marty Schottenheimer defense, 150 yards rushing against a defense?
I don't think you can imagine it with most
anybody.
Defense,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, you can imagine that. You couldn't imagine walking in the building knowing that you gave up 150 plus yards.
Yeah, but you know what? We talked about this last week, and I made joke of it. When we notice in the game, we talked earlier about how we see the game differently than most people. One aspect, and I'll repeat it again, probably most games this season, that's funny to me, is that when we literally see the opponents go against their game plan, they come into a game with a game plan that they've been working on for maybe a week and a half with their backdoor staff, quality control guys pulling up film, doing tendencies. They come in with a game plan. John Harbaugh had a game plan to running in this game. And somewhere along the line in that game, we got a giggle because you started to see Lamar Jackson throw for 52 times in a game and try to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. You saw that in the weeks prior to that as well. This game, we'll see that on and on. The Colts coming in with a game plan of running Marlon Mack, getting back to what they thought they should have done in the playoffs. And then at some point,
you got to catch up.
They're going to play catch up, and they're going to get away from it. Now all of a sudden you're going to see Jacoby Brissett in shotgun with no running back in the backfield, yep, trying to pick apart our defense. That's a recipe for disaster. I think the Chiefs will have their hands full, but it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be the best primetime game. Now it's tough because I think this last week we had a really good primetime game on TV, but this will probably be one of the best, if not best, primetime games thus far this season.
Crowd's worth 7 points.
I know. That's the spread, right? Is 7, right?
Is it 7 or 11?
Yeah. Oh, I saw it 11. You're right. Today. It is 11. That is.
That is a lot of points. Yeah, that's a lot of points.
I mean, what's your prediction score, quick?
Prediction score? You know what? I'm going 35-21, the good guys.
So it's not going to be close.
I mean, you know what? So the thing is, it may be a close game than we expect, but I'm expecting the defense. I want the defense, and I believe the defense is going to come out and play well. They're going to get some turnovers. Okay. I think Tyrann Mathieu is going to hold on to an interception this game.
Okay.
And I believe Frank Clark is going to get a sack strip fumble.
I like that.
And that's the only way.
That's two turnovers right there.
Yeah, that's two turnovers. Boom. You want to get the ball back into the offense hands as much as possible.
Yep. Yeah, sooner or later, these guys got to play. You know, they've like I said at the beginning, on paper, they're very good players. You know, sooner or later, good players start to play, and turnovers happens and sacks happens, and Tyrann Mathieu is he is who he is. He's a pest out there.
Yes.
And I expect for him to be that this week.
Hey, guys, I want to tackle one text off the text line, the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. We don't have enough time to tackle all of them. Well, one quick question I want to raise to you guys. What question from the media pisses you off the most? Is there something that you've had or some experience that you've been through or some way you listen, you've heard an interview, and it just kind of made you shake your head violently?
You know what? It's not one question in particular, but when you ask me about something off the field when I'm trying to get ready for a game, you know, this upcoming week, what's the purpose?
Yeah.
Talk to me about the game. Talk to me about the opponent. What are you trying to get to? Like, the players' personal lives are their personal lives, and what they do is their personal business.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me about that when I'm trying to get ready for a game. I'm in a professional setting.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. I mean, I can't add a whole much more to that. Yeah, just keep it to the game. I mean, it doesn't matter. I remember back when we were playing, Dane, and we had this one of the things I got asked was, what kind of cookies do I like? Chocolate chip or peanut butter? That's a real question.
Obviously chocolate chip.
Obviously. I mean, why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
But, you know, keep it football.
Yeah. I mean, I always get annoyed by the questions that you know the answer to.
Yeah.
How does it feel to make your first start? Well, how would it feel to you making a first start? Obviously, it's exciting. I mean, you know, those are the questions you don't really need to ask. They're just kind of rhetorical questions, because I think if you asked a five-year-old that plays flag football, he'd probably say the same thing.
One more thing. It's another question. It's when they ask the question in a different way. It's like, I just say, I don't want you to ask this question. I'm not going
to
answer it. And
can't
you're going
to
ask
trick
it in
me
a
up.
Different
way. The Jedi mind trick?
Me up. No thanks.
Not going to fall for the banana
right,
in the tailpipe.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, guys, we're at the end. Fourth quarter. We got the W again. As always, I appreciate you coming out. Joe, obviously being a partner here. Keith, my man, from 20-plus years.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's how real it's been.
Old. A solid offensive guy on the station with us, man. I appreciate that.
And he affected you. I think he affected you in a positive way this time.
Oh, no doubt.
That's how we do.
That's what we do.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for listening to Players Only. Week 5, hopefully we'll be back here again next week with a 5-0 record for our Chiefs. If they follow suit, it'll be all our fault. Yep. We appreciate you. Thank you.
This is Players Only. Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.